Good morning, everyone. Good morning, church. Welcome, everyone who are joining us today on site and also online. I'm Sean, your service leader for today. You know, time really flies. We are 2 weeks away from Lunar New Year, and we left with one last week to end January, the first month of 2021. Now, so many things have happened during this period, you know, where, you know, we are still in the whole phase two, phase three. I would say more phase three, but, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But, you know, there's so many things going on in terms of the economy because of the government, a lot of things that is around that, you know, we are so unsure of. But this uncertainty really sometimes will cause a lot of darkness, a lot of sadness, or maybe some of us, there's some happiness, which is good, you know, to find little happiness in everything that we have right now. Today, I invite everyone, you know, to quiet down your heart, okay, to really feel the presence of God today as we enjoy the service. Now, I invite everyone to prepare your heart for the call to worship. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us be glad this day for life, for breath, and for freedom to worship.
Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord.
We come to bring our gifts of praise and gratitude to the God of all creation.
Trust in the Lord of time, O people. God be a refuge for us.
God is our rock and our salvation. We shall not be shaken.
God is good, and in God's work we find our strength.
We sing of all God's wonderful works. Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord.
I invite everyone to prepare your heart for the worship. For those who are on site, due to the regulation, you can't actually sing. But invite, if you can, to stand up to worship your Lord in your own ways. You can be standing up, having your hand gesture. You can be even dancing here. Okay? It's a way how you express yourself to give thanks to the Lord.
We'll rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. As we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strength. You comfort those in the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Stir a passion in my heart, God, let it overflow, let it overflow. Stir a passion in my heart, God, let it overflow, let it overflow. Breathe on me, Holy One, come reveal your wonder now. Open wide my eyes to see there's so much more. Jesus, you are where it all began. Your beauty called me deeper in. Stir a passion in my heart, God, let it overflow, let it overflow. Stir a passion. There's so much more. Jesus, you are where it all begins. Your beauty calls me deeper in. Stir a passion.
Let it overflow.
flow. Stir a passion in my heart, God. Let it overflow. Let it overflow.
Good morning. Would you join me in a time of prayer? God, as we seek your will, your guidance, moving from brokenness to wholeness, towards reconciliation, towards shalom, where all things are at peace with one another, we pray for healing for ourselves, our communities, and for the whole world. Help us, God, in our brokenness, recognize you when you reach out to us in different forms. Help us to recognize you in the people around us who love us in spite of our brokenness. God, help us to reach out for help and be empowered in our process of healing, because it is not just something that happens to us, but healing is something in which we too have a role to play. Help us learn to be vulnerable, to seek and ask for help, and to be honest to what kind of help that we need. Jesus asked the blind man what he wanted Jesus to do for him. Help us name the help that we need so we begin on that journey of healing. God, help us learn to say no, because sometimes no is the right thing to say. No is sometimes the loving thing to say, because too often we are conditioned to say yes because we believe that we are only loved when we say yes. We are only accepted when we say yes. Sometimes it is those who say no who stand against the sinful systems of discrimination and oppression. Help us learn not to be afraid to say no. We want to lift up Ashley, who spoke up about her struggle in the education system as a transgender student. She said no. No, she would no longer keep quiet and suffer. No, she would speak truth to power. We lift up all those who are involved, the educators, policymakers, the people who support Ashley, her family, her friends, and people in the LGBTQ community, and our allies. We pray that the scales will fall off the eyes of the educators and the policymakers. We pray that they find peace, because the anxieties aren't really about what uniform Ashley should wear or how long her hair should be. Their anxieties are that they are afraid that they are wrong or believe in the wrong things. They believe that if they believe in the wrong things, then they are no longer loved. But that's not the God that we know and worship. We are loved, period. Not because of anything. That's the kind of love that we come to understand to Christ. We pray that they hear you, God. They hear Christ's voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So they learn too what they are doing to Ashley and other transgender students like her. And what they are doing to her, they are also doing to Christ. God, help us learn to see with compassion. Compassion for those who have been radicalized. Compassion for those who seek to use violence to achieve their ends. Violence, even in the small act of throwing a rainbow flag at someone because you didn't agree with their beliefs, their values. God, we lift up this man who felt that he needed to use violence to make a statement. But his acts come from a place of fear, and help us have compassion to understand his fears and love him. God, we give thanks for a peaceful transition of power in the U.S. We feared that it would not be peaceful, but it was one that gave us hope, one that marks a beginning of a different time. We also want to lift up those who believe that there was a fraudulent election, those who believe in the conspiracy theories, those who believe that COVID is a hoax and the vaccines are a conspiracy. We pray for them. We pray that truth will prevail. And God, grant us the wisdom to discern what is true, what is right, and also what is loving, so that we can show compassion and also love even those who have harmed and hurt us, to show love just as Christ would, even those who misused Jesus' name, even the former President Trump, his family, his allies, and all those who support him. God, we pray for tomorrow's judgment in court on 377A. May the arc of history bend towards justice. Yet, we are no strangers to setbacks. We are no strangers to disappointments. But God, we know you have been with us every step of the way. We know your voice has told us, "You are my beloved." God, today when we look back on what's happening, and we look back to 10 years ago, to 20 years ago, there has been much progress. The result might be different, might be disappointing. But God, we know you are still with us. So regardless of the outcome, God, we are anchored in your love. We have come a long way. And looking at the outpouring of love to support Small, the outpouring of love to support Ashley, we see you. God, we pray for compassion for ourselves, because we often are the very harshest critics of ourselves. The inner voice that continues to tell us we are not good enough, we didn't work hard enough, we didn't fight enough. You have showered grace and mercy without measure. And even when you have forgiven us, we have not forgiven ourselves. Shalom cannot happen without forgiveness. So God, guide us, hold our hands as we learn to forgive ourselves and unlock and release all the pain, the resentment that make us unforgiving to others. Forgive that small man. Oh, what a pun. Forgive Trump. Forgive those who hate us, those who hurt us, those who harm us. Forgive those who love us, perhaps not in the way that we need to be loved. And most important of all, forgive ourselves. So God, we close praying in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our parent in heaven, hallowed is your name, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours forever. Amen.
Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, unite. the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Let's sing it again.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Good morning and welcome to FCC. Welcome home. Those of you who are here on site, those who are here for the first time, those of you who have come many times, and those of you who are joining us online, welcome home. Today I just want to invite you to join us in participating in this sermon by logging on to menti.com. And you can use a code shown there on the screen, 7750301. Okay, so it's something we've been doing this season. We thought it's been really rich, actually having all of your input, your experiences, your answers and responses. I think it really adds to and builds this sermon to be something that's our own. All right. So I pray that God will use this time to speak to our hearts. You know, Epiphany is a season where we're invited to pay attention to what God may be revealing to us. And it is an opportunity for us to commit to new beginnings. And it's no coincidence that it's the new year, right? It's the beginning of the year. And so to new beginnings. I think we all want our lives to be meaningful, to be filled with purpose, and if possible, even extraordinary, right? And that's why some people make New Year resolutions. Whether we go through with them or not, that's another thing. Right? But we want change. We want our lives to be different. No one wants to live an ordinary and mundane life. If we have only one shot, one chance to live this life on earth, what kind of life would you want it to be? Extraordinary, meaningful, peaceful, purposeful, for you to be able to make a difference. But how do we even begin to live an extraordinary life? How? Let's take a look at how Jesus' disciples began to live extraordinary lives. And perhaps we may glean something important from their story. And so I'm going to start with a question today. We're actually looking at Mark chapter 1. And so when Jesus called his first disciples, in your memory, what activities were they involved in? And I'm referring to Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Okay, what activities were they involved in when Jesus was calling them? Right, one, casting nets to catch fish. Two, mending nets on their boat. Three, cooking fish over a charcoal fire. Four, all of the above. Okay, remember there are four of them. So they could have been doing many different things. Okay, so what do you think? Were they casting nets, mending nets, cooking fish, or all of the above? Okay. Don't worry, there is a reason why I'm asking this. Okay. Okay. So thank you for all your answers. Oh, I see, yes, there are a lot of mending nets, casting nets are the most, and then quite a few of you is all of the above, right? Cooking fish is a bit suspect, right? Sounds familiar, but were the disciples cooking fish, or was that Jesus who was cooking fish for them over a charcoal fire, right? And that's at the end, right, in John. So the correct answer is Simon and Andrew were casting nets, and James and John were mending nets. Okay, at least in that story in Mark 1, they were casting and mending. Casting and mending. Why is this important? These were the ordinary things that fishermen did day after day. It's part of their life, casting out nets and mending nets. And Jesus approached them while they were doing the most ordinary things in their lives and invited them with an extraordinary call. So let's look at the passage together, okay? And this is in Mark chapter 1. It says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.' As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." So, in our gospel reading this week, Jesus invites four very seasoned fishermen to leave their boats behind and to follow him so that he can make them fish for people, as scripture says. Jesus approached them while they were doing the most ordinary things in their lives, and he invites them to follow him and come live an extraordinary life. "I will make you fishers of people." Fishers of people. We may not fish for a living, I don't think any of us do, but we know about casting and mending nets. Well, maybe not literally. Casting the net, pulling it in. Casting the net, and pulling it in. That's like us going to work every single day, trying to meet our goals, our targets, day after day. And when we're not casting the net, we're mending the net, right? Like how we have to manage office politics or relationships, resolve conflicts and misunderstandings, constantly mending, right? Day in and day out. And we know what it feels like to cast the net and to mend the net. And perhaps in the busyness of our lives, we may not have noticed, but Jesus often approaches us in the midst of our ordinary days, and he is inviting us to follow him and to let him make our lives extraordinary. That's what happened with Simon, Andrew, James, and John. They were not looking for Jesus. They were too busy with their nets, either casting or mending, trying to make a living. It was just another day of casting, mending, and doing all the things that fishermen do. They may not have even noticed Jesus if he had not called out to them and spoke to them. Jesus is a way of showing up in the ordinary places of our lives and interrupting our daily routines. And perhaps that is what he's doing for us this season of Epiphany, showing up in the ordinary places of our lives. As he did in the lives of the four disciples, Jesus' invitation to a new life is for us too. Follow me. If these four fishermen accept the invitation, their lives will forever be changed. And looking at history, we know this to be true. They will be changed indeed. They will no longer just catch fish. They will be fishers of people, of souls. So let's pause and think about this question together, okay? I was supposed to have this slide just now, but never mind. Okay, let's go to the question, all right? And the question is, when Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of people," what do you think that means? Okay, what do you think that means? So I gave you a couple of answers just to kind of help along, right? And maybe you have your own answers as well, but let's see what you say. So when Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of people," what do you think that means? One, Jesus wants us to evangelize and increase the numbers of people who profess to be Christian. right? I see Molly nodding vigorously over there. Okay, I know I won there already. Okay, two, for us to share the good news of a new world order, a new kingdom, and help usher in a new God-honoring way of life that blesses all people. Right, that's two. Three, Jesus means for our lives to be transformed and that we may have an expanded vision of our role in God's story. A bit difficult, is it difficult? Well, I see, okay, yeah, well, thank you for responding. Yes, I see, yes, three for number one, 14 so far for number two, 10 for number three. Cool, all right? So I'll be honest. I sometimes struggle with this fishing metaphor. I don't know if you do. I understand those of you, you know, like Molly, who chose the first option. Because growing up, fishing was used as an analogy for evangelism in many churches. It was a kind of evangelism that was framed in a very specific way, if some of you may be familiar. And now on reflection, I would say, perhaps quite an arrogant way. Basically, the idea is that the fish were all the world's non-believers, doomed to hell because they had no one to catch them. So we had to try our best to hook them for Jesus, inviting them to church, leading them to say the sinner's prayer, and accept Jesus as their personal savior. All the while, we are insisting that only our version of Christianity held the truth that would save them from damnation. So the challenge that was often given sounded something like, are you ready to give up everything? Leave all you know and love and follow Jesus? Are you willing to fish for lost souls? Right. So when I was a younger Christian, that was what I understood when Jesus said, I will make you fishers of people. But as I matured spiritually, and the more I got to know God's heart, I realized that fishing meant something much broader, and it had to do with the ushering in, the bringing in of the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God is not just any kingdom, it is a new God-honoring way of life that blesses all people and all of creation. It was much broader than what I thought. I read an article by Debbie Thomas recently that shared the fascinating research. Done by Casey Hansen called The Galilean Fishing Economy and the Jesus Tradition, in which he describes the socio-economic and political context of Jesus' ministry. So at that time, what it was really like when Jesus was calling these fishermen. And this gives us much insight into Jesus' fishing metaphor. According to Hansen, the four fishermen in Mark's story, they aren't just individual workers in a free enterprise system, you know, like just, I want to go fishing, then I go, kind of thing. By the time Jesus starts recruiting disciples, the fishing industry in Palestine is fully under the control of the Roman Empire. And Caesar owns every body of water, including the Sea of Galilee. And all fishing is state-regulated for the benefit of the urban elite. Fishermen can't obtain licenses to fish without joining a syndicate. And most of what they catch is not what they keep. It's exported, leaving the local communities impoverished and hungry, deprived of the dietary staple they've depended on for centuries. And the Romans collect exorbitant taxes and levies each time fish are sold. So not only do they take away all the fish and export it, so the people have very little to eat, they even levy and tax whatever the fish that was sold. And so to catch even one fish outside of this exploitative system is illegal. So in this context, what Jesus is actually saying when he invites the four fishermen to leave their nets and to fish for people, what is he exactly saying? Theologian and activist Chad Mayers, in his book Binding the Strong Man, he argues that we narrow and distort the radical nature of this text when we interpret it as an invitation to issue altar calls. Jesus isn't talking about filling up the church pews. He is going back to the Hebrew scriptures in which the hooking of fish is actually a euphemism for judgment upon the rich and the powerful. And that's found in Amos and Ezekiel. So in other words, when Jesus asked Simon, Andrew, James and John to fish for people, he's actually asking them to cast aside the existing social order of power, of privilege, of exploitation, domination, and to help usher in God's kingdom, a kingdom of justice for the poor, mercy for the oppressed, and abundance for all. Jesus is inviting us, commoners, to a fundamental reordering of socio-economic relationships. And that's what we mean by having a new and God-honoring way of life that blesses all people. So is it possible for us to find a more nuanced way forward? What would it look like to return to Jesus' urgent invitation, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people? What would help us to return to this invitation and learn how to fish for people in ways that are not exploitative, that's not driven by numbers, but instead in ways that are hospitable, that are loving, that are inclusive, that are life-giving and nourishing? You know, whoever you are, whatever your job is, even if you're not a fisherman, you have a role to play in God's kingdom. Jesus used the metaphor of fishing because he was talking to fishermen, and he was just referring to terms that they understood well. When Jesus says, "I will make you fish for people," he's describing the transformation of our lives, not simply the job of catching new members or followers. He could just as easily have said to the carpenters, "Follow me and you will build the kingdom of heaven." Or to the farmers, "Follow me and you will grow God's people." Or to the doctors, "Follow me and you will heal the brokenness of the world." Or to teachers, "Follow me and you will open minds and hearts to the presence of God." Or to parents, "Follow me and you will nurture new life." See, whatever your life is, Jesus' call is the same. Follow me. Follow me is a call to participate with God in God's work of shalom, which is the restoration to things as they should be. It is the work of change and growth. And this work is always about moving to a larger vision, being able to see ourselves and our role connected to God's bigger story. In the calling of these four disciples, we see that Jesus phrases this invitation as an extension of their current work, right? And I wonder, what implications can that have for us? So if you think about it, if Jesus' invitation, right, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of people," or if you're a carpenter, "Follow me and you'll build the kingdom of God," or you're a teacher, "Follow me and you're going to be involved in changing minds and hearts for Jesus." If there's an extension of your current work, what implications does it have for you? What do you think? All right, you can just type in a word or two, any word that comes to your mind. All right, because we've often looked at this passage kind of separate from our own lives, right? Yeah, that's about the disciples and Jesus calling them. But what if it was exactly the same for us? No matter what work, no matter who we are, that Jesus is actually calling us. What implications does that have for us? All right. I'm just going to leave you to think a little bit about that, all right, as you continue to share. And let me continue and I'll circle back, okay? When Jesus called these four to follow him, it was not a directive to abandon their experience, their skills, their intuition as fishermen. It was a call to bring all of these gifts forward for the sake of a more beautiful and peaceable world, a world where all are nourished. The call is to become even more fully, even more freely themselves for the sake of God's kingdom. We see that the concept of repentance needs to be reconsidered in light of this text. Repent is usually considered a call to turn from sin, or from wrong behavior or thoughts. And that is one meaning of repent. However, in this text, the fishermen turn not from negative things, but rather from a way of life. In response to the good news and the call to follow Jesus, they shift from a respectable living as fishermen, perfectly fine, right, to another related identity that's even better, that is fishing for people. To respond to the gospel and to follow Christ often interrupts an ordinary mode of existence that in itself is not wrong. Nothing wrong being fishermen, but God wants something better for them. It leads us to shift to an even better identity and a better use of our gifts. So when Jesus says, follow me, he didn't mean to throw away your nets wholesale. He wasn't saying, I'm going to make you, he was just saying, I'm going to make you a new kind of fisher person. Nets are the tools of your trade. Nets are our security, our skills, our means of livelihood. You are going to use your skills, your experience, your talents in new ways. That's what he's saying. In more meaningful ways that can make a difference for the world. Your nets will no longer be just for your own benefit or for the benefit of your family and loved ones. Your nets will be for the souls of many in the world. But you know, nets can also symbolize the things that entangle us. The things we know that we need to lay down in order to step into this new, extraordinary life that God is inviting us to. For Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they had to lay down their nets, walk away from their family business, and leave Zebedee with the hired men in order to step into this new way of following Jesus. But please don't take that example literally, okay? I'm not asking you to change your career, disown your family, or move to a new country, all right? It's not really meant to be a literal thing. Follow me is both the invitation to and the promise of new life, an extraordinary life. And I'm curious what the nets in your life are. What are the things that entangle you, the ones that give you an illusion of security and stability, the ones that are familiar and comfortable and keep you sailing in the all waters of life? Who is Zebedee in your life that you need to leave in order to step into a new life of following Jesus? What do you need to let go and leave behind so that we might follow Jesus? So I just want to ask you this, okay? What do the nets symbolize for you? What do the nets symbolize for you? The nets can be your skills, it can be the things that have been working for you, things that you can continue to use in the life that God is calling you to. And nets can sometimes be the things that entangle us too. So what do the nets symbolize for you? And some of you are sharing, you have anxiety. Yeah. Right? Sometimes that kind of really keeps us from doing the things that God is calling us to. We may know that God is calling you to an extraordinary life, this amazing call, but anxiety keeps you back. Living in comfort, that's a big one, right? Comfort zone, the word comfort, right? It's very hard for us to leave our comfort zones. It's very hard for us to say, okay, I'm going to try and risk it and do something that's uncomfortable for me, to take that risk, to make a loss in order to gain. That's always hard, right? Yeah, that comes out a lot, right? Too comfortable, out of comfort zone, living in comfort, fear of the unknown, absolutely, right? So much easier to stay in the familiar, to do something new, to do something different. That is scary, right? Tools to get my desire, okay? Status quo, right? Security, yeah, you know, definitely. Right. I think as human beings, I mean, having safety and security is really important. And that sometimes keeps us where we are instead of growing and moving forward, even though it's scary. Mm-hmm. Same old habits, yep, some old habits, yes. Stuff, familiarity, yep. Earnings, yes. That's important, right? Our livelihood, how much we're earning. If we change, does it mean that I'm going to earn less? How is that going to affect me and my family and the people that I love and that I support, right? So many things, right? The good news of God. Yeah, the nets symbolize the good news of God to you. That's great. Yeah. So, really interesting, right? You see, ultimately, it's about letting go of our own little life so that we can receive God's life in us. We let go so that we can follow Jesus more closely, so our lives may be reoriented, so that we may now travel in a new direction, so that we'll begin to see a bigger vision of our role in God's kingdom. When we let go, everything is transformed. Our nets, our boats, our families. And that's why Jesus told them that they will still be fishermen, but now they would fish for people. It's an expansion of their role. Their lives will become more extraordinary. They will be more authentically who they were created to be. And so will we when we follow that call. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. I will make you. And this is a promise from Jesus to cultivate. It's not for you, not to say that you have to cut off everything around you. It's a promise to cultivate. I will make you. It's a promise rooted in gentleness and respect, not in violence and coercion. It's a promise that when we dare to let go, the things we relinquish might be returned to us anew, enlivened in ways that we couldn't have imagined on our own. And sometimes follow me moments take us to amazing places. And sometimes they take us to places we never wanted to go, or to circumstances we never wanted to face. They can be as adventurous as leaving everything behind and starting over in a new place, or as ordinary as keeping a promise, taking care of our families, or reaching out to help someone in need. Each of these moments, in whatever form they come, can take us more deeply into ourselves, more fully into our lives, and ultimately connect us with God in a deeper way. See, the follow me moments are less about where we're going or what we are doing, and more about who we are becoming. And that's what God is concerned about. These moments touch us deeply and they speak to our heart. So much so that Simon and Andrew were willing to drop their nets, let go, and walk away. And James and John were willing to get out of their boat, their comfort zone, their safety, their familiarity, and leave their father. What are the moments in your life that you couldn't do anything but get up and go? You had to follow that calling because Jesus was calling you. And it was real and authentic for you and your life at that time. So I just wanted to invite you to share what has been one follow me moment in your life. Right? What has been one follow me moment in your life? And this is an open question, so you can type in as little or as much as you want. It can be a one-word answer that helps you remember and to honor that follow me moment in your life, in the past. It can be a long paragraph that you want to share with everyone who is also listening in. Okay, so as you're typing in your answers, I want to share with you my follow me moment, okay? And that will give you some time to type in your answers as well. You know, I've shared my follow me moment about how God led me to FCC numerous times in previous sermons. So I didn't want to bore you, and I didn't want to repeat it, okay? I thought I would share with you a more recent follow me moment. So for some of you who know me, you know that I studied my divinity degree, at least, or my master's in intercultural studies in Singapore Bible College, right, in Singapore, many years ago. And so when I first came to FCC, you know, there were many people who were encouraging me, hey, what about going to study more? All right, go study, go get a progressive theological education. You know, and so that was something that I really considered, and it was something that I also dragged my feet about. There were many, many concerns in my heart, right? And one of the chief concerns that I had was, is this the right time? I just came to FCC, there were so many things to do. You know, God, is this the right time for me to go study? The other things that were on my heart was, it's going to cost a lot of money. But I need to save money because, you know, American education, right, is more expensive than any other education in the world, right? And then, like, and I'm going to be able to take time off and just go away to study. I mean, how am I going to do all that, right? Or am I going to do a hybrid program that allows me to kind of do it from here? And, you know, what am I going to do and stuff like that? So there are a lot of things that I was grappling with. But most importantly, I wanted to be clear that that was what God wanted me to do, and that was the timing that God wanted me to do it. So last year, in the beginning of the year, actually, before the whole COVID thing started, right, I had decided that, yes, this is the year I want to go study. It is the right time. So I told the board, right, hey, you know, this is what I'm planning to do. I know it's been, you know, some time that I've been thinking about. And, you know, so they were very supportive. And then, of course, COVID hit, right? And I was like, okay, I think we need to, like, suspend this plan for a while. We have a lot of things to do. We need to bring everything online. We are all trying to figure out, you know, what to do with this whole pandemic situation, right? And so as things started to stabilize, should I change mic? I'm good? Yeah. So as things started to stabilize with the whole situation in the second half of the year, I realized that, okay, I think it's time for me to go back to the whole plan to study. And so I did up all my applications and sent it all in. And there was, of course, a lot of uncertainty about the way ahead, you know. How am I going to get enough money to pay for this? When can I, you know, do this? Even if I were to do this in a hybrid program, you know, how am I going to balance work and studies all at the same time and have attending classes in the middle of the night, you know? And then, yeah, so I'll be a zombie throughout the day, right? Yeah, so all those things are in my mind. But I felt a very deep sense of peace that this was the right thing to do and this was the right time to do it. So after some time after I sent in my applications, they replied, you know, the school replied, and the school said, you know, congratulations, you've been accepted, and we're offering you a scholarship that will cover about slightly half, right, slightly over half, 50% of your studies. And I'm like, oh, so good, you know, thank you. I was very, very grateful, right? I mean, half was a lot of money, right? And it made a lot of difference, and so I was very thankful for that. So as I was communicating with them a little bit more, they sent me another email, and they said, you know what, because you're such a wonderful applicant, we want to invite you to this thing called the Scholars kind of Round Table or something like that, a Scholars Gathering. And so that will be in the middle of the year, in 2021. And this is where you meet all the deans and the different people, the president of school, and, you know, and this is where you compete for a 100% scholarship, 100% scholarship. Then I was like, huh, compete? What are we supposed to do with competing? Sounds a bit like Hunger Games, right? I'm like, okay. Then they said, but we think you are one of the top applicants, so we want to invite you to this gathering, you know. And but what it means is that you have to defer your studies to the middle of 2021. And I thought, wow, you know, that's amazing, right? I mean, yeah, so I talked to Miak and some of our council members and all that, and then Miak, of course, the very pragmatic one, said, hey, you better go and ask them, you know, if you don't get 100%, will they still give you the other one and not the 50%? I said, yeah, very good point. I will be thick-skinned, better ask them first. So I wrote to them and asked them, and then they said, yes, of course, you know, don't worry, if you don't get 100% one, the 50% scholarship is already guaranteed for you. So I was very thankful, and I said, thank you, I'd love to accept the invitation, and I'll defer to the middle of the year. And the thing is, you know, the day that I received that email that told me that they were inviting me for this possibility of getting 100% scholarship, right? I happened to be listening to one of the songs by Bethel Worship called The Goodness of God. And some of you are very familiar with that song. We sing it in church sometimes. But this was a new version. It was a new version that they did in 2020 under their Peace album. And I happened to stumble upon it. And there was just something about that version, right, that was so meditative and reflective. And when it went into the second verse, right, I started tearing. You know, because I was reminded about the goodness of God in my life at every turn of my life, and especially at the darkest moments, that God had always been there, that God had, was always there to catch me and always had my back, way above what I could even begin to ask for. You know, and so this whole scholarship thing, right, the invitation for it at these, you know, was just a reminder by God that, hey, you know, I've got you. I did invite you to follow me. I did invite you to say, come, you know, let me show you a more extraordinary life. But I've got you. I have your back, you know. And so that's my story. But what about you? What has been one following moment in your life? Speaking to my MP about repealing 377A, thank you for doing that. That's beautiful, okay? That is definitely a follow me moment. I'm sure it took courage. You know, thank you for doing that. That's something we can do, right? Myak prayed earlier, tomorrow they're going to rule in a judgment about, you know, whether the courts will repeal 377A. And that's something that we all can do. We can all speak to our MPs about that or write a letter. There's actually a template online. So if you don't want to go, you know, you're an introvert, don't go speak to your MP, it's okay. Okay? You can send a letter to your MP also. Okay? And then we have, when I became a born-again Christian, yes, right? That was Jesus' invitation to you, come, follow me. And that was a moment for all of us as well. Become open to more progressive theology from a 90s Christian mindset. Yes, and I think that's true for many of us, right? Jesus is inviting us, come. Come see a bigger world, a bigger vision of what I mean when I say God's kingdom. Come and involve in this. Openly declaring my faith in Christ and to be open with sharing my faith journey with people that ask. Yes, that is sometimes scary and challenging, right? Because it takes a lot for us to share about our own journeys. How will people respond? Will they be upset? Will they reject it? But that takes something from us, right? To say, God, I'm willing, right? To build the church, yes. Trusting in God where I had lost control of things. That's absolutely true. And sometimes God is just telling us, right? When you feel most overwhelmed, when you feel like you're not in control, come. That is the time to follow me. Coming to Singapore, great. There are many of you who actually came from overseas. And some of you who join us online, you came to Singapore, you know, many years ago. And some of you are back in your home countries. And coming to Singapore sometimes is a call by God to follow God, right? Not fighting against my sexuality, but to accept it. Yes, and I'm so glad for you. Okay. Career switch, yes. So many of the transitions in our lives. The calling to become a teacher. Yes, absolutely. A teacher who is going to be like extraordinary. A teacher who's going to open hearts and minds for the kingdom of God. And that's beautiful. All right. So thank you so much for sharing. To walk with the homeless, wow, that's beautiful too. I'll go take some time to go read through this. And those of you who can, please read through all this because this is a testimony. This is our testimony, our collective testimony of how God calls us to follow and God will make us. All right? So these moments are not once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. All right? It doesn't just happen once. They present themselves over and over again throughout our lives. And Jesus is continually inviting us, and follow me is Jesus' ongoing call to every one of us. So this morning, Jesus is inviting us once again to step into the fullness of the life he is calling us to. A life that is transformed. A life that is more authentic. A life that actively participates in ushering in God's shalom. Simply put, a life that is extraordinary. How will you answer Jesus' call today? Follow me, and I will make you a new kind of fisher person. Amen.
As we
prepare ourselves for communion. This is possibly a good time for those who are joining us online to prepare your elements at home or wherever you may be outside of church. We gather each Sunday at this table. Even though at this time we are not physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Amen. We are your people, God, called together in your love. We are your children, Mother, called around the table of your word. We are the disciples, Lord, called to praise and give you thanks. We thank you, good and gracious God, for calling us to be your people, for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to touch and bless our world. Even as your people, God, we are separated from ourselves, each other, and you, the creator of life. Let us now confess our brokenness.
As people caught in our tradition, we confess
that we have helped perpetuate systems that deny the dignity and sacred worth of all sorts and conditions of persons. We have paid lip service to equality. Our lives are based on discrimination of the other. We have been our worst enemies. We have failed ourselves, others, and we have failed you, God. Moved by your power, we accuse ourselves because we have not allowed you to form us as a new people. We confess our sin and we pledge to work for reconciliation with one another. We thank you, gracious God, for forgiveness and the chance to start again. We thank you, gracious God, for the gift of your Spirit given to us in Jesus, in whom we are freed from the past and its oppression, in whom the gift is complete. Gracious God, you are the mother of creation and the father of all life. We are gathered as your people to thank you for your blessings, to receive your mercy and forgiveness, and to remember how Jesus died for us, accepting death to show his love for us and you. We remember how Jesus came to us, becoming one of us, born like us, of flesh and blood and bone, a fully human person, like us in all things but sin. We remember how on the night before Jesus died, he gathered with his friends for one last meal. As Jesus loved them then, so he loves us now. Dear siblings, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more, ever. Anyone eating this bread will not die, ever. This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, remember me. Jesus says, I am the wine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the harvest is sure to be abundant. I love you as I have been loved. Abide in my love. This is my blood shed for you. Take, drink, remember me. could I invite the stewards to come forward to distribute the elements? The stewards will pass the elements to you for health and safety reasons. Please do not reach and take the elements yourselves. Thank you. Jesus, you're always present in our midst. You come to us simply, lovingly, humbly, in word and sacrament, in this bread and wine, and in the love we share with one another. Let us eat and drink of this bread and wine, remembering Jesus, his teaching, his life, his suffering, his death, and his rising to new life. Gracious and loving God, you have made us one in the body of Christ and nourished us at your table with holy food and drink.
Thank you for feeding our hunger and relieving our thirst.
With deep gratitude, we offer you our lives, our love, ourselves, gathered in Jesus by your life-giving Spirit.
May we become a new people,
holy, pleasing to you,
a people giving glory to your name.
Amen. Would you please hold on to the packaging of the elements and dispose of them when you exit the church? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Pauline. It was quite emotional for me this time around because for past, I think the start of January till now, there's a lot of struggles that happens that, you know, I tell myself, oh, it's okay, you know, things happen, but, you know, every time there's a sign that people around me trying to tell me, it's okay, just follow. But then I just don't listen and I just, like, think it my way. Especially, Jeff will know that, you know, especially the Friday that I passed was one of the hardest moments for me that, you know, there's so many things going on. But it reminds me again that, you know, sometimes for us, we tend to forget that God gave us sign, gave us signal to us that, you know, follow me and trust in me. How, you know, I trusted him to come to FCC the same way that it made me reflect back. So thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Pauline. So hope everybody, you know, really, you know, have some message from God to follow him. So thank you so much. So welcome, everybody. Welcome home. If you are first time to FCC, okay, welcome. Those who are online also. And those who have not come back for a while, welcome. So I'm Sean, the service leader. So in the first part of the announcement, okay, I will go to the giving first. So the for the giving-wise, you know, we just started January. I think in November last year, we actually have our AGM and we actually agreed on a budget that we hope to achieve this year. The purpose of the budget is not for fanciful things, but it's to run this church so that you get to hear message from Pastor Polly and Pastor Miang to really how do we enrich our life, especially at this crisis where sometimes things happen. Sometimes we get lost. It's through these messages that the God had planned for us, through them. And we hope that, you know, we can help to build this church, become stronger and bigger, so then reach out to other people like you or me, where our life has been enriched because of that. So there's two ways of giving. The first way is through PayNow. Okay, you can give it through the general fund, which is on the left. On the right is the building fund. In case those who are on site couldn't really QR code it, most of the chair behind, there's actually two QR code that you actually can QR code also. Second way of giving is through credit card, where you can give through freecomchurch.give.asia. Okay, this is some information about the credit card portion. Next slide, please. So this is some of the information to take note in terms of, you know, the first line is about your giving to church. Second line is the donation for Give.Asia, which is optional to see whether do you want to give it to them. Then you have the name, your email, so that we can give you a receipt itself. Just to take note for those who are giving through credit card that, you know, there's actually a service fee being charged to FCC whenever you give by credit card. So just to take note about that, yeah. So let's give thanks for all the giving that everybody give. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for being in our life, true people, true things, true the air. Whenever we are lost, you're always there. Wherever we are happy, you're always there. We know that there are more people out there who still need to hear your message because they needed the support. I hope that the giving that we get, the offering that we get, will be able to be multiplied so that, you know, we can help others build the church stronger, that we can reach out to people who need to hear your word, Lord. Thank you once again for bringing us here today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. For those who are on site, if you are giving physical cash, the steward will come forward to take the offering bags and you can raise your hand and he will come forward to you. But we continue with the announcement. The steward, please. So, the first announcement. So, again, welcome home, okay, to everyone. where FREE, I realize I haven't said this, what does FCC, where FREE stands for? FREE stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. So if it's your first time here to FCC, either you're online or on site, okay, you are always welcome here because we love you as who you are. God loves you as who you are. And if you're first time, please help. I recommend to fill up your detail at the FCC page itself, our welcome page, so that we can contact with you, so we can reach out to you, okay? Secondly, next week, which is the 31st of January, the very last day of 2021, we are going to have a newcomers meeting. Okay, for more information, you can email us at info@freecomchurch.org. Okay, alternatively, if you are on site and you want to join the newcomers meeting, you can approach either Pastor Pauline or Pastor Mia. Next slide, please. So, for the Lunar New Year, I know a lot of us are doing a lot of cleaning up, a lot of our spring cleaning, everything. But at the same time, in FCC, once a year or twice a year, we want to do work that will help the community. So, for this time round, we're going to have this community work known as Donate and Recycle 2021. Okay, for those who are interested and those who have stuff they don't want, like, for example, your bags, your clothes, or some electrical stuff, okay? But please take note, please do not give things like your underwear, you know, some things that is torn, everything, because I know that you want to do spring cleaning, okay? But then, it doesn't mean spring cleaning means I clean everything and I will just give to anybody. But these are actually donated to the tea shelter, okay? For them, who is potentially something that they can use. And please take note, there's some exclusion list that things that, you know, we hope not to receive. Okay, collection will be on the 31st of January and also on the 7th of February. So the time is from 10:15 a.m. to 12 noon. So bring at these 2 days. In the event if you can't attend these 2 days itself, you can reach out to Daniel, which is the administrator for FCC. If you need to bring earlier, let us know so that we can try to arrange a slot for you. If you want that more information, you actually can WhatsApp to Kin at the number there. Unfortunately, I couldn't read it because I forgot to bring my glasses today. So the number is all jumbled up for me. So I really encourage you that, you know, if you really have something to spare to give from your home, and please make sure it's usable, okay? Please check first, okay? Please donate and recycle the stuff that you have. The next slide, please. So, you know, 2021... still a lot of things is still within control in a way where we are still in phase three. Okay, maybe a lot of emotion that been accumulated through the circuit breaker, phase one, phase two. You know, there is anxiety, there's actually pain sometimes. You know, you are not alone in this. I emphasize it because recently I had friends came up to me with the accumulated pain and we started talking and realized that there's so much people out there who still need further support. And FCC is here to give you support. Or you've got friends who need support. Okay, please reach out to us at the pastoral support, okay, at info@freecomchurch.org. Next slide. Every Wednesday, we actually have our prayer meeting. It's from 8 to 8:30 p.m. And the link is over here. Alternatively, it's also posted in the description page in your YouTube site. Next slide. So, you know, as we expand, okay, we want to be connected with you. As mentioned, we have Instagram. Okay, please stay tuned on our Instagram. If you have not joined our Instagram page, please join us. We actually have Rachel who is going to be helping us with the Instagram. So you have find more and more information on FCC, interesting bite size information, updates about stuff. You can join us from there. We have our Facebook. We have WhatsApp. Okay, we also are going to have Telegram soon, okay, for those who may have concern. Okay, we're going to have Telegram soon. Hopefully, I don't know, maybe Signal in the future as we expand itself. Okay, next slide. So volunteers, you know, to bring you all this service is not easy. Okay, every time I'm here as a service leader, I always mention that, you know, you see me here, next week, you'll see me up there as a service producer. The following week, if I'm not wrong, I'm the moderator. Then the following week, I'm doing another thing. So all of us actually have something to do every Sunday. But we need more people to help us because this cannot be done in terms of, you know, if we do not have enough volunteers to help in the AV side, to manage the sound, okay? To manage the video production, you know, do a lot of things to make sure that we bring this service to life. So that we can reach out to more people out there who need to hear the message. So if you are really keen to join us and you want to try, okay, please email us at info@freecomchurch.org. Okay, just one thing to clarify, okay, you don't need to have the technical skill, to be very, very honest. I'm a person who like to buy the latest IT things sometimes, but I am not a high-tech person. So I'm quite a dummy in a way whereby, you know, what is this technology? Oh, sometimes when I was doing producers, I'm also very worried. Because am I pressed the wrong button, etc. So it's okay. Okay? We all learn through this process. So if you have no technical knowledge, it's okay. It's a willing heart that matters to us. So really hope to hear from you guys if you really want to volunteer. Next. Alternatively, you're still very worried that, hey, I don't want to talk technology, everything. There's another ministry that you actually can help to involve in. You know, as the COVID-19 disrupt our life, a lot of things we cannot do as what we planned in the past, right? For example, you know, we used to do big gatherings outside in FCC, or, you know, some of y'all may be traveling, we go for our FCC trip, retreat, all this. So we have this ministry led by Jeffrey called the FCC Community Life. The purpose of this ministry is to think of ideas. How do we uplift, connect our community together? So you will play an essential role of how do we bring the community together, especially during this COVID period and the post-COVID period. All of us will have special ideas. So I really hope that, you know, if you want, okay, if you're willing, okay, please join us in this ministry, okay, so that, you know, we can think of ideas together. How do we, okay, bring our life back to the new normal? So for more information, the email is there. The next slide, the last slide of the day, which is a regular announcement. So we want to hear from you. How is our service? Is it good? Is it bad? Oh, today's worship is very good. Oh, today the service leader is very bad. You know, it's okay. We want to hear from you. The purpose is so that we can make our service better. So we hope to hear from you if you have any feedback about the Sunday service. So now I'll pass to Pastor Miak for the benediction.
May I invite all of you to rise as you're willing and able in body or in spirit for the benediction. I am no Bishop Flander. She has done benedictions through singing. But I cannot but feel moved by the Spirit to do this benediction through song as well, after hearing Pauline's sermon. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown and you in me? Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around? Through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me. Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn around and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you, and you in me. So go, follow the call that Christ has set to you. Follow me and be changed. Follow so you will change the world. Go in peace and love always. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Pauli. Pastor Miak, sorry. Thank you for the touching benediction. I think there's something all of us miss in terms of the live singing. Really touches all of us. So please stay safe, go in peace, and hope to see everyone again next week, 10:30 a.m. God bless.